This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Moving on then to our next story. TNB is back in the headlines. They've not been making good headlines recently, admittedly, but this time it's not something that they did because the government is studying the feasibility of allowing new energy suppliers into the market in Peninsula Malaysia. The results are coming out soon, and depending on what they find out, Tenaga Nasional Berhad might not be our only choice anymore.
The Energy, Science, Technology, Environment and Climate Change Ministry is looking into whether it would result in more competitive tariffs for consumers. So I'm not sure how exactly that would look like, you know, given that for my entire life, it's only been TNB, and whether this new player will actually be able to match up to what TNB has to offer, and whether TNB itself and this new entry, how they would compete. With the new entry being, would the new entrant be able to be a secure source of energy for my home?
Right. I would like to know what's going to happen for this new player, you know, because, or new players. I'm assuming that there's going to be a lot of movement into green tech. I'm thinking that's the way forward. And for smaller companies emerging, that would be the focus. But yeah, where if I were a new player entering the market, where would I go? You know, I'm just thinking, would I want to enter a smaller space? Would I want to tussle with the big boys in the urban market? Would I go somewhere that has traditionally had less access? So I would like to know what that would look like. But also, tell us, if there were new providers when it comes to electricity as a utility, would you consider changing? You know, what would it take for you to swap over? WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking after this with Dr. Renato Lima de Oliveira, who's a senior fellow at IDEAS and assistant professor at the Asia School of Business. That's coming your way after this. It's BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It is 7:12 in the evening with Lynn and Kelvin, and we're talking about new energy suppliers potentially entering the market in Peninsula Malaysia. And we would like to know whether or not you would swap providers if that happens. You know, what kinds of information and communication would you need in order to feel secure doing that? In the meantime, we are also going to be crossing over to Dr. Renato Lima de Oliveira, Senior Fellow at IDEAS, Assistant Professor at the Asia School of Business. Dr. Renato, thanks for joining us. So, this is a monopoly. It has been for a while. Are monopolies typically the norm or the exception when it comes to the electricity industry?
So, in the case of electrical utilities, they tend to be monopolies. So this is not unique to Malaysia. It started through the power generation to the transmission and to the distribution. That has been the traditional model. And because in the electrical utility market, you tend to have the big scale effect. So the cost per unit of megawatt generated and distributed tends to be cheaper as you have more. That led to what is called natural monopolies. And the way to deal with natural monopolies, they traditionally had been like two different ways. One, you either would come up with your own public state-owned monopoly company, or you try to regulate it. So that has been a traditional model. The same you see in Latin America, in Europe. In the United States, you had the regulation, but with private ownership of the utilities. However, since the 70s, and particularly in the 90s and 2000s, we started to see different pieces of this value chain being open for competition. So you start to have independent power producers. So the generation, which used to be done by a single company that was also responsible by the transmission and distribution, you start to have competition in the generation. Then you can also start to have auctions or the private players for the transmission. You say that we are going to build a new transmission line. Who can offer like the most affordable investment here? Now we are talking about liberalizing the retail part, the distribution, to allow the consumer to actually have a choice, to be able to select from more than one provider. So this is a trend that is not unique to Malaysia. Other countries also passed through that. It's quite expected due to the change in this particular market.
What would be the main push factor for introducing new electricity suppliers to the market?
It might be a good idea because it can reduce costs. So the world is changing. In the old type of energy regulation, where you have like decentralized generation, transmission, distribution, in that the consumer was passive. You just like turn it on, you switch the electricity on, you start to spend energy regardless of the actual price during the day. In that type of system, you need to have high spare capacity because you don't exactly know when the peak will occur and what's going to be the peak. So you might have a really hot day in Kuala Lumpur and then more people putting their air conditioning on, and then you need to go and activate some more power generating plants. So basically, in today's regulatory model, you end up with high level of capacity that is only utilized during the day, during these peak hours. In a new world where the consumer actually reacts to the price, especially if you start to add more solar power, for example, in Germany, during the days in a very sunny day or windy day and with lower supply, prices go to zero. It's like there is enough generation coming from solar, and then if you can take that energy and it won't cost anything. So if you can adjust your consumption to the actual price of the generation at the moment, then you end up with a lower need of this spare capacity. And that can reduce the overall cost of the electricity in the system because you become more efficient. Overall, what it can bring is lower price to the consumers and also a market with a much higher diversity of players.
So it's early days yet, but who could these new energy suppliers potentially be?
A diversity of players. The interesting thing is that these new markets, for example, for large-scale solar, you don't necessarily have the same old big utility companies as leaders. You have different entrants. Different players that can come up with innovative solutions and really tie the opportunity to this new business model. In the case of the big utility companies, they actually don't have much incentive to really innovate in this area because they would be disrupting their own business. They need to participate in that. They need to come up with a unit to analyze that and be ready. But they do not have a built-in interest in speeding up the rate of transition because the current market, the current structure rewards their past investment. So when you start to stop rewarding their past investment, you get your assets to be stranded. They are going to not generate the same flow of revenues that you expected. So the interesting thing is that this allows for new entrants, new business models, different actors from Malaysia and from abroad to explore future opportunities.
On that note, what would happen to TNB if this transition to a more diverse market happens?
It really depends on the rate of their adaptation. So at this point, we're just talking about studying. That's what we heard from the news reports about what the government is just starting to do. And that is the right approach. So in light of that, TNB can analyze what kind of regulations might come up of that and try to respond, try to reduce their cost structure, try to participate more intensively into the renewable energy market. They already started. They have a unit for that. But perhaps it might be needed to speed up and also to explore these opportunities outside of Malaysia that they also have already started to consider.
What sort of challenges do you see happening if we do transition into multiple sources of energy, including renewables?
Well, it's a very challenging regulation thing that you need to consider because the Ministry of Energy also has a mandate, and that was in the Pakatanharapan Manifesto, of increasing the share of renewable energy to the matrix of Malaysia from 2 to 20%. But renewable energy and most of the renewable potential of Malaysia is either for biomass or solar, and mainly solar, also comes with a big challenge in system price cost, which is its intermittency. So unlike coal power plants or a natural gas power plant, which you can just turn it on and just turn off whenever you need to do some maintenance, with intermittent source of energy like solar, you have a profile of generation during the day, but it might start to rain, it might be a cloudy day, and you might not have enough electricity at that moment. So you need to have backup generators. You need to have other source that can put enough energy to match with the demand at the same time that demand is existing. So it has to be instantaneous. So this is a big challenge. It's something that a lot of different regulators around the world, different policymakers are studying. How to integrate more renewable energy at the same time that you guarantee the system stability. So I'm sure this is one of the things that are being considered, and it's in line with this mandate that the current coalition power they were elected with, which is to increase the amount of renewable energy.
One concern is that the stability of supply might be compromised if you're getting your electricity from a smaller player. Would TNB at the end of the day still be the most reliable choice?
Not necessarily. One of the key things about electricity is that all the players, they know about the importance of reliability and being able to safely deliver electricity, avoid blackouts and so on. And you have, in the case of Malaysia, you have the Energy Commission. So you have different regulatory entities, you have a grid, and then you have a grid dispatch and so on. So this is a very structured market where all the players, they know about the importance of following all the rules and making sure that everything gets delivered at the right time within the right specifications. So it might not be the case when you, I don't know, maybe you switch to your cell phone and you're with a virtual mobile operator, and it might not be reliable. It might work well in some areas of the country, others less. But in the case of electricity, if you put together the right regulatory framework and the right incentive, you can have a very reliable market at a lower cost.
So as consumers, how should we prepare for this possible change?
So one of the benefits of these future scenarios of the energy market, particularly the electricity market, is through the Internet of Things. It's the idea that by having connected device, those devices, and including electric cars, can react instantaneously to the price of electricity. And that's also one of the promises of 5G. So as a consumer, you could start to think about the possibility of when you're going to change your appliance, to think about, is it already ready for Internet of the Things? Can I measure it well, the amount of consumption? And so on. Second thing is to take part as a prosumer, to be as both as a producer of electricity and also a consumer. Malaysia is advancing into rooftop solar. The incentive structure was not well done before, but now you have the option of coming up with your own production, selling to the grid and buying at the same price. So you might get involved as a producer. It's depending on how much is your consumption, depending on the rate you pay currently per kilowatt hour, that might be worth. So this also represents one of these changes that we are observing in the electricity market.
Would the benefits of liberalizing the electricity market only be felt by consumers who care about renewable energy? What would push consumers to explore and learn more about other sources of electricity?
Well, they have an incentive to know more because if I can put my appliances, if I buy an electric car and so on, I might decide to turn it on as an automatic rule, depending on the price of energy. I might say, only use my freezer at maximum capacity when the price of energy is 20% lower than the average. So you might program that. It doesn't mean that you have to. You might continue to be a passive consumer. Just turn it on whenever you need without any concern about instantaneous price. But the advantage of these changes is that you might have an incentive to care about these things. And also, you might, as a consumer, choose a different package of electrical consumption by source. Let's say that I'm really concerned about the environment. I don't want to buy energy from Tenaga because about 50% of the energy generation in Malaysia is now coming from coal. But let's say that I have a preference for renewable energy, even though it might cost more. Today, I can't totally buy it from renewable energy if I'm just a subscriber of TNB. So another player can come up and offer a package that might be more expensive per kilowatt hour, but might be more aligned with my interests, with my values. And you might prefer to do business with companies that can claim that their energy is from renewable energy. So these are just some examples that you might have in a new market that is different than a centralized market by a sole provider.
Dr. Hernato, thank you for weighing in. That was Dr. Hernato Lima de Oliveira, Senior Fellow at IDEAS, Assistant Professor at the Asia School of Business as well. And we've been asking you, if new players were to enter and offer you electricity, would you take it up? I mean, and what kinds of persuasion might you need? Or are you just, you know, ready and willing to just get going? So we've got some messages here. Andrew saying, yeah, why not? If a new entry can provide competitive tariffs, not like the bloodsuckers we have currently.
And that's the hope, right? That with a new player, it might actually provide us consumers with more competitive rates. And as both of them try to fight it out, we win in the end.
That's always the hope. But the dark version of all of this is what Kamran Nizam is hoping won't happen, that the new supplier doesn't mean it will be conquering certain areas only and it's not for us to choose, which is something that we see in other markets, right? Where big players just end up dividing the map and saying, I'll go here, you go here, we don't touch each other, all good. But I think that that's dependent, like I said, on big players. If you don't have that, if you still have, you know, just smaller companies doing their own thing and offering specific services, then hopefully we will see that healthy competition.
And it's probably a problem in the very long term where it might only happen, say, when they get big enough to do so. When they are starting out as small players, it might not happen so soon yet.
We also have another message here.
James Sassy says the government should enforce deregulation like in the UK. This will allow for more competitors. This also means new players can override existing cable already laid, and consumers can choose company A or company B.
That's right, because there is a lot of ground that has already been laid here. It's not as if we are without electricity. It's only that we are without options. We have one, that's it. So yes, hopefully that will happen. I think we're a ways away from that at this point in time, but fingers crossed we get there someday. Zaidi says, liberalizing the power sector is good. Consumers will have a wider choice to buy the most efficient power from the best power producer. However, the government needs to learn from past mistakes, where TNB lost a lot of money due to lopsided deals with independent power producers such as YTL Power and other companies.
And I'm hoping that there is also something there about competition forcing and pushing TNB to be more efficient in the ways it delivers its services.
We'll be back after the 7:30 news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.